Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. Today's podcast, we're going to be discussing the growing industry of sustainable energy in the UK, and in particular, an innovative UK company, Ripple Energy. And to do that, we're very kindly joined by Sarah Merrick, who is the founder of Ripple Energy. Sarah, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thanks. Hi.
So one of the main reasons that we're joined by Sarah this morning is that they're currently undertaking a crowdfunding campaign on Cedars. They are currently raising £350,000. They've hit 80% of their target. We're going to discuss more that in more detail later on in the podcast. But Sarah, for people that aren't aware of Ripple, what is your business and what's the problems that you're trying to tackle at this point in time?
Yeah, so Ripple is a clean energy ownership platform, and what we do is we enable individual households and potentially businesses as well to own a little bit of a new wind farm or solar park and get the electricity that it generates supplied to their homes via the grid. So it's sort of, instead of having to put solar panels on your roof in order to get the to get green electricity that is your own source of green clean power, you own a tiny bit of a large scale wind farm, which is so much cheaper. And by doing it through Ripple, it's just really, really easy. So it's about 65% cheaper than rooftop solar. And we estimate that over the wind farm's lifetime, a customer would save around 25% on their electricity bill as well. So it's just really easy. It's a really easy way to act on climate change and make a genuine impact. But also it saves you money on your electricity bill at the same time.
So this is a fairly unique business. What drove you to take this path with Ripple Energy?
Yeah, so I've always worked in the wind industry, and you know, the cost of onshore wind and the cost of wind in general has just fallen so much over the last sort of 10-15 years. So onshore wind is now the UK's cheapest source of electricity. And working at the heart of the industry, you know, subsidies were coming to an end, and the industry was looking at, you know, what happens after subsidies. And I'd spent a lot of time, you know, talking to politicians about how cheap wind was and how much people loved it. But in order for people to own it, only really big, you know, Google and Facebook can buy green electricity direct, but individual consumers can't. So I set up Ripple to enable individuals to have the same sort of collective buying power that the likes of Google and Facebook have got.
Okay, fantastic. So could you give a bit more detail in terms of one of your customers' sort of cycles of coming through the Ripple platform and how they actually take the ownership of wind farms?
Yeah, so what happens before we launch a project on the platform, we do, you know, we go out and find the projects, and we then do all the due diligence, you know, make sure it's a good project. And then we, you know, do lots of, you know, financial modelling of it as well, see if the savings that people would get would be good enough. And then, so we launched our very first project on the platform in June this year. That's a single wind turbine in South Wales. And then it's owned by a co-op. So people just come onto our website, they basically decide how much of the wind farm they want to own, and then they buy that share of the wind farm. It's owned by a cooperative, so you actually you become a member of the co-op and you own it through the co-op. So Ripple doesn't own it, but we sort of facilitate everything. So you just go onto our website, you buy as much as you want, and then we've partnered with Co-op Energy and Octopus Energy, so they basically supply the electricity from the wind farm to your home, and then we just do the switch. So if you need to switch to them in order to get the savings applied to your bill, we do all that for you. So you can sign up in just a few minutes. So you just look at how much of the wind farm you need to own. You can just, we've got a calculator, so you put in how much electricity you use. You can then decide, you know, do you want all of it covered from the wind farm, or do you just want a portion of it, or do you want a little bit more than you use? So you decide how much you want to own. Oh, it's really, really flexible. And then, you just buy your share, pay your money, and then we switch you to Co-op Energy if you need to switch. And then you just sit back. When the wind farm's full, we then manage its construction, and then when it's operating, you then get savings from the wind farm applied to your electricity bill direct. So yeah, it's just it's really, really easy for people to do. They can just sign up in a few minutes. And the if you want all of your electricity covered by the wind farm, it's around sort of £1,800. But that is, yeah, two-thirds cheaper than the equivalent rooftop solar scheme.
Okay, fantastic. So what, Sarah, what makes Ripple unique? Because of course, you know, offshore wind is something that's been out there for some time now, and you know, people with their existing providers will obviously be taking some of that. But what's making Ripple stand out from other options out there in the market?
So the main options that people have at the moment is rooftop solar. If you want to be, you know, really have an impact and enable, you know, to actually increase the amount of renewable electricity in the UK, you put rooftop solar on your home. But you need to own your own home. It has to have a, you know, lovely southwest facing roof, all that sort of stuff. You can't rent it. And then there's obviously a load of green tariffs in the market as well. But those green tariffs don't actually deliver additionality. They don't lead to, well, most of them don't lead to actually more renewable electricity being generated. They more like just divvy up what's already available in the market. But with Ripple, it's sort of a combination of the two. So you've got the additionality, but it's really, really flexible. So it doesn't matter where you live, it doesn't matter whether you rent, and if you move home, it goes with you. So it's got the sort of portability and ease of a green tariff for a much, much lower cost than rooftop solar.
Okay, so I mean, what does this look like in terms of the competitive landscape in the UK? I mean, is there anybody else that's offering a service similar to yours? I mean, and where would you sort of fit in with other options in terms of people looking to make investment into the sustainable energy supply?
Yeah, so we sort of sit, as I said, sort of we sit in between rooftop solar, green tariffs, and other sort of, you know, green bonds, as it were, in the market. So, you know, there's a whole load of green tariffs in the market. They're, you know, they're popular, but they don't deliver the impact that lots of consumers expect. There's rooftop solar, but it's really expensive, and you know, you can see it on your home. If you move, you have to leave it behind. And then there's a lot of green investment vehicles where you can, you know, invest in a fund. But what we want to do is we want to appeal to people that don't see themselves as financial investors. So this is, Ripple isn't an investment vehicle. It's a way for people to own their own source of low cost, large scale green electricity. So yeah, we're not an investment vehicle. And, you know, we limit how much people can actually own. They own roughly as much as they need. And yeah, so the sort of competitive landscape, it's a sort of almost a triangle where you've got your green tariffs on one point, rooftop solar, and then you've got investment vehicles on the other. And we sort of sit in the middle of the three, really.
Okay, lovely. So how long have you been going for, first of all, Sarah? And what's the growth been like since you started in terms of the number of users that you have on the platform?
Yes, so I mean, we set up Ripple in 2017. That was when we did to just establish the company, and then we launched. So we had to develop the platform, develop all the legal frameworks, secure the first wind farm. We then were able to launch the platform in June this year, and so since June we've got 550 customers, and the platform's seen well over £1 million of transaction happen on it. So we've been, yeah, really pleased. We've proved there's, you know, consumer appetite for what we're doing, which is absolutely fantastic.
So what's next for Ripple? Of course, you're on Seeders at the moment, looking at that capital raise. What's the plans for growth going forward?
Yeah, so in general, the plan for growth is just to do wind farm after wind farm, getting bigger and bigger, both in the UK and elsewhere as well. So we're already looking at, you know, potentially expanding into Ireland and also Australia. So the core model of just enabling electricity consumers to collectively own large-scale assets. It's really, really flexible, really solid, so it can be tweaked to a number of different applications. And one thing that we are working on at the moment is working with property developers. So there's a property development in the northwest of England, and each of the new homes that are being developed will all come with a bit of a wind farm. And so it's that sort of those sorts of partnerships that we're looking to increase over the next couple of years. So, you know, the UK needs to build 300,000 new homes per year. Increasingly, those homes will be electric. They won't have gas connections. So obviously, they all need to be low carbon as well. So buying a new home and having it, you know, as well as having a fitted kitchen, it comes with a bit of a wind farm to power it for 25 years. It's that sort of solution that we're sort of looking to develop over the next couple of years. So we've already got this first project, this first agreement with this property developer, but it's that sort of application. So there's, you know, there's potential for working with housing associations, offering it to employees via a sort of employee benefit scheme. So a bit like a sort of season ticket loan, the employer would, you know, there's loads of companies, 45% of the FTSE 100 have set net zero targets. They want to show their employees that they care about the environment. So by enabling their employees to own their own source of clean power, that's a really great way for them to underline their commitments to sustainability. So yeah, we've got employee benefits, housing associations, property developers as well as just big companies becoming owners of the wind farm as well. So yeah, we're looking at a lot of different options for the future, both in the UK but then also abroad as well.
Okay, lovely. So of course, you're in Cedars at the moment. You're looking for £350,000 of investment to fund the growth plans that you just outlined there. But in terms of numbers, investors looking at this would like to get some idea of what you're targeting. First of all, what do you see as the total market that you could address, and what would you like to have, and what do you think you'd have over that market in the next few years?
Yeah, so in terms of the wind and large-scale wind and solar market is potentially $11 trillion over the next 30 years, so basically to 2050. There's a huge amount of investment that's going to go into wind and solar, and we think that consumers themselves should be part of that market. So instead of it just being, you know, pension funds, infrastructure funds and utilities owning these assets, we think that consumers themselves should be able to enjoy the benefits of ownership just like anyone else. They know, you know, I know that I need electricity for 25 years, so I want a bit of an asset that can give me that electricity for 25 years. So the market is absolutely huge. We're looking at obviously a tiny proportion of that. So we're looking at by 2026, and we're looking at having just under 900,000 customers in the markets that we're operating. So, you know, a minuscule fraction of the market, but we think there's huge scope to grow, because, you know, this wind and solar investment is happening. It's just about unlocking the ownership of those assets for consumers. So, you know, you can't own a bit of a coal station or a nuclear station to deliver your home low cost, stable price electricity. But actually, you totally can own a little bit of a wind farm or a solar park and get the electricity that it generates supply to your home. So, you know, as well as the shift to a renewables based energy system, you know, reducing carbon emissions, which is obviously the key thing. That's what's really, really needed. It also unlocks, you know, different ways of doing things. And the thing that Ripple's really interested in is enabling consumers, having a transformation in who owns these energy assets.
Okay, so having a quick look at your crowdfunding page on Cedar. So anybody that is listening to this, if you do check out the notes of the podcast, you'll find a link through to the crowdfunding page for Ripple. Now, it's a fairly unique model, which comes with a fairly unique revenue model as well. So would you be able to sort of outline how you're generating revenue at the moment?
Yeah, so we've got four revenue streams, or four primary revenue streams. The main one is that when somebody buys their bit of the wind farm, we charge them an arrangement fee. So we charge 5% for the first one. We're planning on increasing that to 10% for later projects. So, you know, that covers all of our marketing and legal costs. And then we charge a management fee to the co-op. So Ripple is basically the co-op's managing agent. So we just take care of everything, whether it's, you know, AGM or making sure the landlord, the landowner gets paid. So we manage the wind farm on behalf of the co-op. So we charge a management fee for that. And then we charge our utility partners an acquisition fee. So if, you know, a bit like if you go onto Uswitch and you switch to a different electricity provider, you know, the electricity provider gives Uswitch a fee. Our utility partners will pay us a fee, not for our first project, but for later projects. And then we're also planning to partner with other companies. So we've got a MOU in place with SunAmp, which is a heat battery provider. So, you know, if we sell a SunAmp on our website to one of our customers, we would then expect to get a sort of commission for that as well. So we've got these four different revenue streams. Early on in a customer's lifetime, it's the arrangement fee, which is the real driver of our revenues. But actually, over the customer's 25-year lifetime, the other elements become much, much more important as well. So we've got early upfront revenue from the arrangement fee, but then we've also got a long-term revenue throughout the customer's lifetime with us.
Okay, lovely. Thank you. So what people will be interested to know, you know, and always are when they're looking at private companies, what will the funds be spent on? You've obviously conducted one serious fundraiser in the past, coming back for a second time. Any funds raised now, where would they be allocated to?
So a large part of it will be marketing. So the biggest issue that we face is the vast majority of people in the UK have no idea that they can now own a little bit of a wind farm to supply their home with green electricity for 25 years. So we need to spend money on marketing to make sure people, or to tell people this is what you can do and how fantastic it is. So there's marketing for this project and also for our second project, which we're planning to launch next year. There's then, you know, expanding into other markets. So, working on Ireland and Australia as well. There's the tech side. So we need to develop an app so that people will be able to see, you know, in real time how much their bit of the wind farm is generating. Then they can compare that with how much they're using in their home. And then there's just obviously our business costs as well. So the biggest chunk is on marketing and building a world-class brand for Ripple.
Lovely. And just to finish off now, Sarah, of course, Ripple's still a private company. There's no immediate secondary market immediately. So, you know, the investors will be looking for an exit in the future. I mean, where do you see the company going? And sort of over the next sort of 3 to 5 years plus, where do you see yourself going in terms of presenting a potential exit for investors in this round?
Yeah, so we're expecting, as I said, just have more and more projects in more and more different markets. So that by 2026, we're looking to have around 900,000 customers across those markets. And those 900,000 customers will be really engaged. They'll be clearly, you know, they would have put their hands in their pocket to act on climate change. And, you know, we will have a model that is really, really scalable. So our platform is highly scalable, both in the UK and elsewhere as well. So we think we'd be really attractive to somebody, either a new entrant into the low carbon space, or potentially, you know, somebody that's already operating in it who wants, you know, a way to diversify their offering and to offer customers something that's really relevant to them and empowers them to take charge of their clean energy future, essentially. So yeah, potentially for new entrants, but also we think, you know, we would be attractive to people who are already existing in the market as well.
Fantastic, Sarah. So just as a reminder to anybody listening, in the notes to this podcast there will be a link through to the crowdfunding site Seeders, where you'll be able to find out more information about Ripple. So Sarah, thank you very much for joining the podcast today.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember all investment involves risk.